You are listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here with Mike Hagee for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we welcome Jordan Rodrigue with the Charlotte Observer. So thank you so much for joining us today. Let's talk a little football. Let's just get right into it. The Panthers, it seems like so much has changed since the end of last season. With ownership and rookies, and what do you see? Tell me, what's your perspective with regard to the new ownership and where things are headed? I know that's it's a broad question, but what should we look forward to? What is the most pressing thing that we'll see with regard to change with the new ownership?
Well, first and foremost, the vibe is different, and that speaks a lot to what is happening in that locker room right now, what will happen on the field. There was some stability and continuity with head coach Ron Rivera and general manager Marty Herney still being extended through 2020. So they've got kind of the stability of what it's going to take to keep that football team performing at a high level. And then there's just kind of this vibe throughout that building that things are really fresh and different, and everybody has a voice. There's an open door policy that David Tepper has when he's in the office, that anybody could approach him and talk to him about anything. And that's not just something he is talking about. He's actually walking the walk or dancing the dance. If you've seen some of these videos of him shaking it down the field.
That is so cool.
I don't know how I feel about that yet, but it is what it is, as John Fox used to say. But
I love it. Yep.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just a different vibe. There's a lot of possibility and a lot of excitement right now because this is a man who moves markets. This is a man who wants to get a team president in the building, who has a development background, who can really help shape the region as well as continue the excellence on and off the field in this football team, in this organization. But there's so much potential in this organization with two states and the entire region as its fan base, and so much infrastructural development that is possible here. And David Tepper, really, he waited for his moment. A long time ago, he bought a 5% stake in the Pittsburgh Steelers to diversify his portfolio and also to get his foot in the door so that when the time came for a team to become available, the right team with the right potential, with the right gambling bill introducing itself into the Supreme Court, then I think it's one of those things where he capitalized on it, because that's what he does. That's how he's made his living, is he's capitalizing on these decisions and making the right decision. And it's something where he really wants to commit to this fan base in this region. And he's trying to show that the next few weeks as he kind of is present in different matters and really making sure the fan base hears him and know that he hears them.
Absolutely. He comes across as being so real, so normal, so much like you and me, you know, like us.
Except he's worth $11 billion.
I know.
I'm worth $11, so I don't think that's quite the same. Yeah.
He really does come across as very genuine as he's moving around through different tailgating events before last week's preseason game. And then he was also interviewed, I believe, at halftime on the on the football cast that I was watching. Someone that is really so successful, so business minded. I feel like with the new energy, I am really excited for what this season holds. And even I feel like even more so than I would be or than I was when Panthers might have picked up a key player. I feel like this is a huge piece, if not a bigger hub, to create growth, you know, a positive experience through, you know, by us having the Panthers and with the potential for development with a practice facility, or maybe even putting ourselves or the city in a position to get a Super Bowl in the future. Let's talk a little bit about the potential for a practice field, the redevelopment of the existing, or a relocation. Do you have any insight? Do you have any opinion as to what might happen?
Yeah, you know, I think I could take an educated guess stab at what we might see as early as 2020 in the region in terms of practice facility, a multi-use, constantly open facility that could host multiple major sports, including MLS soccer, which he has mentioned several times, which David Tepper has mentioned several times, to the point where we're thinking, all right, man, we get the hint. You're going to try to make it happen. And so this facility would obviously be covered. It would be an entertainment facility as well, where fans could come in and celebrate their teams all year round. Things that would host things like high school championship football games in the region. Something that would be really an environment that fans can come and immerse themselves in the culture of the Carolina Panthers, as well as the culture of whatever team does happen to share use of that facility. In this case, it would be an MLS team. And so that's something that I could see being placed strategically, perhaps across the border. I think David Tepper has mentioned a lot of things about what he wants to do in terms of help South Carolina infrastructurally and systemically and economically, including finding a way to get teachers' wages raised down there, as well as in North Carolina, obviously, but finding a way to help education, finding a way to kind of raise the economic impact that Charlotte has seen from this Carolina Panthers football team being present in Charlotte, finding a way to share that more with South Carolina as well, because that way really is a two states, one team mentality with the fan base. I think it helps that there's a sports betting bill currently introduced in the South Carolina House. I think that helps positive momentum in terms of what his big picture idea is for this football team and for the revenue that it can bring. Having a facility in South Carolina would certainly help that as well. But I can't see him, you know, I can see him turning the current practice fields around the stadium into more of a multi-use entertainment district. Because a lot of teams around the country have that now, and the Panthers are far behind in developmentally in terms of what the fan experience is. So I think that he really sees a lot of those things. The way that the Arizona Cardinals recently did that out in Glendale was a particular sticking point, I think, with his team in terms of seeing what the possibility could bring and what the potential is. And I think we start seeing those changes really soon. As early as 2020, I think they'll be out of Wofford and out of Spartanburg and into a new facility.
There just seems to be so much untapped potential with respect to practices facility. And I believe Minnesota is another city that has really developed out and made their practices facility more of a full year-round entertainment complex with office and retail and shops and various other points of interest. So let's talk a little bit about football.
Yes.
How does Cam look this year?
Loose, healthy, and happy. That's, I think, the three major keys for him to be successful.
Awesome.
He is healthier than he's been in 5 years. He's leaned out a little bit, so he's a little bit more he's taking care of his body in different ways. He is really loving working with North Turner, the new offensive coordinator. There's a mutual respect there that they're really focusing on the details and kind of getting his – efficiency up a little bit more in terms of the playmakers around him are better this year than they've been in several years. They really want to be an efficient, fast-moving offense. As we saw in 2015, they are best when they're playing fast and efficiently. So putting pieces around him in that way was a big emphasis, and he's got playmakers. I mean, who wouldn't be happy about that?
Yeah, definitely. And let's talk a little bit about the offensive line. You feel that they're going to be able to position themselves without some key players there that they've lost? Do you think they'll be able to recover from that?
Speaking of development projects, I guess. right now they're in trouble. I think in 6 weeks they will be kind of, the ship will kind of have been righted. Obviously, that's not that's a long time in the NFL where a lot can happen. But right now they're missing two starters and one projected starter, left tackle, right tackle, left guard. And it's a problem. The only thing that's keeping Ron Rivera from calling it a position catastrophe is second-year tackle Taylor Moten on the left side, who apparently is playing the position. I mean, Ryan Khalil, the center, said he's playing the position like he's been playing it for 5 years, which is a high compliment from one of the most veteran guys on the team.
Wow.
And so I think there they might see what the future could have for them at the position. But in terms of the rest of the fill-in players, there's just a ways to go.
Jordan, curious, who should we be looking for this year? I mean, there's any couple standouts in the preseason? It seems like there have been. Any highlights on the rookie reel that you've seen?
Yeah, I think it's okay for Panthers fans to be excited about Dante Jackson, the rookie cornerback out of LSU. He got a lot of comparisons when he was in college to the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. More so because of his tenacity when he plays, and he can. He's a little bit undersized for the traditional position build at the position, but he's just a fighter. He's a scrapper, and he has this crazy quickness and makeup speed that is what drew the Panthers to him. And he stays on the field more because he doesn't have the injury history. You know, he didn't miss a snap when he was at LSU. And so that's something the Panthers really like about him. So far, even in the preseason, we can call that second corner starting cornerback job his. And I don't think anybody's even close to taking it from him. So that's something that it's going to be bumpy probably the first 8 weeks of the season. He is a rookie. People should keep that in mind. But this is going to be – he's going to be a heck of a player for the in the future for them.
So let's talk a little bit about the secondary generally, the defensive secondary. What's your impression? Or maybe let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being, you know, young and really trying to really learn their way, and then 5 being experienced and just an excellent secondary group, where would you put our secondary today?
I think they are both a 1 and a 5. Oh. Yeah, I think that, so I don't know, math is bad. 3? Yeah, no. no, they're both a 1 and a 5. I think they have some young players. Safety Rashawn Golden will get his first start Friday against the Patriots, and Dante Jackson obviously being a rookie. So there's 2 starters who are rookies, and then James Bradberry and Mike Adams, 2 vets who know the ropes, have been showing the ropes. But at the same time, this potential for these players that they've brought in, and in terms of their chemistry already with the veterans, is just really, really interesting. And the secondary was a position where when I entered training camp, I was really concerned about it. And that concern went away after 1 week, after seeing some of the intelligence that these guys play with, the chemistry they're playing with. And these rookies, they're making mistakes because they're rookies, but they're not making the same one twice. So that's pretty important in terms of their trajectory. So I think they're a 1 and a 5 right now. They probably will be a 4 by the end of the season.
Wow. Wow. Fantastic. Love to hear that. So let's talk a little bit about the offense once again, and the new rookie tight end, Ian Thomas. What are your thoughts about Ian and his performance last week?
Well, Ian Thomas has been a perpetual underdog for his entire life. He actually, both of his parents died within a year of each other when he was 8, and his older brother adopted him, came back to Baltimore and got full custody of him and raised him. While working 3 jobs trying to provide. And Ian Thomas, there could have been a lot of things that led him astray growing up in the part of Baltimore that he did. But he had all these coaches that kept looking out for him. And then he actually went to junior college to play basketball because football was just never really in the cards for him. And the junior college football coach came to a basketball practice and was like, why the heck isn't this guy on the football field?
Wow.
Like, look at him play. Mm-hmm. And he then ended up going to Indiana and having like 1 year where he had he had okay numbers, but the potential that was there was just incredible. You know, the Panthers, Norv Turner and Ron Rivera in particular, went to go scout him, and they compared him to Antonio Gates in terms of how he's built and his potential. And so, first of all, that's a huge compliment. And you don't hear that about a guy who's got like 1 full year of football experience, but you're already seeing some of the flashes on the field of what he can do, how fast he's learning the system. You know, he's got no one better to learn from than Greg Olsen, and he's really showing that he can really be a playmaker for the Panthers and probably the heir apparent when Greg Olsen does retire.
Oh, absolutely. And to your point, he's able to learn from who I think is arguably one of the best tight ends in football right now. So I'm excited to see Ian succeed. And I love his story. I love what he's been able to overcome in his life, even more importantly than football. So that's fantastic. All right. So let's talk a little bit about predictions here.
Ooh, best time. Here's when I just get yelled at by people when this comes out. I'll get some phone calls, I'm sure.
Yeah. Tell us where you think the Panthers will land in the division.
So the thing to watch for Carolina this year is weeks 14 through 17 when they play the Saints, the Falcons, and the Saints again, when the NFC South kind of cannibalizes itself. And I think that if they can be win two of those games, regardless of whether it's both Saints, one Falcons, you know, whichever they end up, if they can win two of those games, then they're going to be in a position to make a deep playoff run. They're going to have to be healthy to do it. So this offensive line has got to get it together. Lots of veterans on the team. Obviously, last year that loss in the wild card game was kind of a rude awakening for them in terms of not wanting to make Cam Newton put the team on his back, wanting to make sure that he had playmakers. So if all these playmakers can stay healthy, I can see them making a pretty substantial playoff run. I'd say at least 11 wins for them this year, and a decent playoff run.
Excellent. So on your workload, we very much appreciate you coming in particular, knowing that one of your coworkers had left the Observer, and I'm sure you're in a whirlwind of taking on even more than what you typically do. So we very much appreciate you taking time to come in to sit down with a conversation about the Panthers with us. Well, we very much appreciate it.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, guys. I am a big fan of all the work you guys do, and a big fan of Huga. Is that, yeah? I say it wrong every time. I know that's something that's like a Charlotte thing. Everyone says it wrong, says it wrong the first time. But yeah, it's really a pleasure being on with you guys.
So we, I will say this, and we're having a season long, for every home game, we're going to have a tailgating spot. We'd love for you to come join us as you're able. We'll make sure that we connect you with the times and when we're going to be there. But for September 9th, for the folks that are connected to us, either friends or clients, neighbors, we're going to invite folks to come out and enjoy a band, have something to drink, have something to eat, and maybe just have a little community before the game starts. So thanks again for joining us. Jordan Rodrigue with the Charlotte Observer. I'm Scott Pridemore, Mike Hagee. Thanks so much.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at PrideMoreProperties.com.